case you wonder what happens here when she leaves, there's a step which she uses to speak. So when she leaves, and I come in, it's a matter of pushing the step in so that I don't appear taller than what I am. Good morning. It's nice to have all of you here this morning. I do believe that when many of us are first exposed to the laws of mind, especially through a study of metaphysics, one of the most difficult truths to accept is that nothing ever happens in our lives unless it is first set in motion by some activity within ourselves that we call beliefs, attitudes, states of mind, convictions. Now, having said all of this, our Bible reminds us that that individual who chooses to dwell in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. The secret place of the Most High is not in some far off mountain or in some planet in the sky. It is not a hidden temple somewhere in a jungle, somewhere in the world. Rather, it is a facet of mind that Jesus called the kingdom of heaven. It is a stratum, a realm of consciousness that has never been touched by human thoughts, and it will never be touched by human thoughts. So the question then becomes, how do we become aware of this if we do not use thoughts? My friends, there is something higher and finer than human thought. There is a pearl of great price in this realm of mind that is made flesh, that expresses itself as the health of our bodies, as the peace of our minds, and as a harmony in our relationships. Our challenge in life, and the only challenge in life, is that we become consciously aware of this pearl in the midst of us. And it is in the stillness of our own minds, in the quietness of our own thoughts, that we become aware of this pearl. So this morning, in order to remind ourselves that it can be on earth as it already is in heaven, let us share the statement of being that you will find on page 2 of your Sunday program. After the words, we will have a moment of silence for personal contemplation and meditation. Let us begin. God is all, both invisible and visible. One presence, one mind, one power is all. This one that is all is perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. Man is the individualized expression of God and is ever one with this perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. this time I would like to ask our ushers to please come forward for the offertory. Blessings that have been bestowed upon us, for the gift of love, of peace, of life itself, and for our willingness to share this that has so freely been given to us, for this blessing, O most gracious God, we give you thanks. Amen. not that many years ago, a number of psychologists and psychiatrists, and especially many of the social scientists throughout the country, they were pretty much convinced that man was the product of his environment. That's never been true, not at all. There is no denying that man is influenced by his environment. In the early years, by his parents, teachers, the community into which he was born. Many have been influenced by the early religious education that took place in their lives. And also by whatever culture or social standing they found themselves in when they came into the world. Man is influenced by his environment, but he's not the product of it. As a matter of fact, it's the other way around. Our environment is the result of some very specific states of mind that become crystallized as people and places and things. And you will discover that as we mature and as we acquire and attain new understandings, different attitudes, we find ourselves pretty much removed from the place where we were born. Beliefs were changed to other beliefs. Attitudes were changed for other attitudes. As a matter of fact, every man, woman, and child is totally free to choose what to think and what to feel. But we are all under the influence of that which we choose to believe. It is written in Romans, "Don't you know that what you give of yourselves to obey, to that you become as servants to obey?" Literally interpreted, it is being acknowledged that our beliefs are our masters. Just 2 weeks ago, we were reminded that we are not under the law of God, but under the law of our own personal beliefs. We were reminded that our belief becomes our God, literally a power over which there is no other power. And it is also true that for years we have heard about the kingdom of God. And there are millions of people all over the world who say they believe in God. But somewhere along the way, mankind in general has accepted this God as being somewhere, someplace called heaven. A place that is separate and apart from us, even though we have been told that the kingdom of God is within us. A personal belief, ingrained belief, is a lot stronger than when we hear and read. And so it is that when an individual finds himself or herself going through some kind of personal crisis, they forget everything they've read and heard about the indwelling power of God. And so for them, these individuals, the most natural thing to do is to try to project their prayers, their actions, their thoughts, their cries for help to a place somewhere separate and apart from them, which proves the power of personal belief. But until an individual discovers, until an individual becomes consciously aware that the kingdom of God is within him, that individual's prayer life will never get beyond the ceiling. Prayer is not what we quietly voice within ourselves, nor is it what we voice out loud to the world. Prayer is a feeling that arises from within the depths of our own being. It is not something we do, but something that reveals itself from within us. When when the intellect becomes quiet. Or as Jesus said, when we choose to turn within, taking no thoughts. When we choose to enter our closets and shut the door. He said, it is here, in the deep silence of our own being, that the Almighty takes over. That pearl, which we spoke about a few minutes ago, begins to reveal itself. And it is at this very moment, at that moment of realization, at that moment of revelation in the deep silence of our own being, that our prayers are answered. For it is this that has given rise from within ourselves that allows healings to take place, that allows the right word to be spoken, that allows the right decision to be made. It is the Spirit of God flowing through the transparency of that mind that has chosen to become still, that allows it to be on earth as it is in heaven. And when we choose to take the time to think through this process, we will discover that we are always in the presence of God. But what we are expressing out here in the world, as long as we are taking thoughts, what we are expressing out here in the world is the outpicturing of our own mental states. This is what the Master was trying to teach us concerning our prayer life. Basically, he was saying, talk to the presence in secret. Without the noise of words and without the activity of thoughts, talk to the presence from your heart. Not the words. In stillness and in quietness, communicate with the presence, not in words. And the presence who hears in secret shall reward you openly. Today, years ago, whenever the word metaphysics is mentioned, immediately many people turn to the power of thought. And much has been written about the power of thought. There are hundreds of books that are written about constructive thinking, affirmative thoughts. Thousands of books. And it has been proven time and time again that a change in our thought patterns inevitably does bring about a change in our human experience. But that change usually doesn't last. Because sooner or later we discover that switching from a negative thought to a positive thought is not enough. As a matter of fact, it has been written that at one time, some people that were around Jesus were questioning him about this idea of thoughts. And he said to them, who by taking thought among those that were there can add the length of a forearm to their stature? Simply by taking thought. And he went on to say that if they could not do such a little thing as that by taking thought, that perhaps they should rethink what right thinking was all about. And right thinking could be a booby trap. Because right thinking presupposes that we know what a right thought is for any situation. And if we choose to practice right thinking at this level, we better know what a right thought is for just about any situation or condition. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves jumping from the frying pan into the fire. So the question then becomes, how do we get what we want, what we need, what we desire, without thinking about it? one of the greatest voices in metaphysics. And in the New Thought movement was a man by the name of H.B. Jeffrey. This man once wrote, "You have a right to be well. Because one is your source, and that is God." He said, "The omnipresence of God simply means that God is right where you are. What this means is that you cannot be where God is not." That's the meaning of omnipresence. That's number one. The poet Robert Browning wrote, "There is an inmost center in us all where truth abides in full." That's number two. Number three, the man Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." And there are dozens and dozens of other individuals who have basically said the same thing. And the thing that they have been saying, they all have it in common. Although the fullness of life, whatever that may mean for you, physical health, supply, peace of mind, a loving relationship, although the fullness of life is with you and in you at all times and in every place, only you can decide how much time you are willing to let go of the world and turn within yourself. And believe it or not, this turning is proportional to believing what these individuals are saying. The more you believe, the more you will turn. Keep that in mind. Be mindful that the only limitations that are imposed on us are the limitations that we impose on ourselves. There's a little story in scripture about a soldier, a centurion, who went to Jesus and asked him to heal his servant. And it's written that apparently Jesus said, well, this fellow, a centurion, said to Jesus, "Speak the word, and my servant shall be healed." You don't have to be there. You don't have to lay your hands on him. Just speak the word, and he will be healed. Now, the key to this little story is the word, word. This word that the centurion asked Jesus to speak is not a spoken word. I believe that everyone who has ever taken the metaphysical interpretation of the Bible as taught by divine science knows that every character in the Bible and every event that takes place in the Bible simply identifies a very specific state of mind, an activity of consciousness. And by the way, if you have yet to take this Bible class, I encourage you to do so. Because that soldier, that centurion, is really your intellect. The servant is your body, your physical body, the entire physical, mental, and emotional body of your environment. Now please remember, keep this in mind, there is absolutely nothing wrong with the intellect. But it should not be allowed to take the place of God. It is not the intellect, but the Spirit of God, this pearl that we've been talking about, that escapes from the hundreds and hundreds of layers of human beliefs, that heals the body, that forgives the sinner, that feeds the hungry, not the intellect. It is the ordinary human being that is saying to the indwelling, healing presence, "Speak the word. Reveal yourself. Arise." But not in words and not in thoughts, but as a state of open and receptive mind. "And my servant shall be healed." Everyone here this morning, and there are no exceptions, The mere fact that all of you are here this morning indicates that you have reached a level of understanding, an awareness, an awakening, where we are beginning to question the power of appearances, and we are beginning to acknowledge the omnipresence of God, as faint as that may be at the moment, meaning that God is here and now, with us and in us and all about us, even as we sit here this morning. There is a word going out from within each one of us into our environments. A word is going out into our bodies and into our relationships. But this word that is going out from within us may or may not have touches of the Spirit of God, but rather it is almost totally involved with our own human awareness of life. The totality of our beliefs and our opinions and our attitudes. As a matter of fact, you and I are at all times asking life, who do you say I am? And life is answering us. How? Look around you. Look at your body, your relationships, your environment. Life is responding to you. If you believe that at times God answers your prayers and that at times He doesn't, if you believe that you do not deserve whatever it is that you're going through at the moment, whether you have been aware of it or not, you have been answering your own beliefs, your own prayers. Isn't it written that whatever you have spoken at night shall be revealed during the day? And that which you have spoken in your closets shall be shouted from the rooftops. In other words, we are creating our environment not only day by day and moment by moment, but for years. Because there is nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. We're not talking about the world. We're talking about what is taking place in our minds. Look around you. Your environment is your word made flesh. Whether you like it or not, each one of us are the creators of our world. Life is saying to us, I will be with you according to your heart. And so it is that we are encouraged to keep our hearts with all diligence, our emotional thoughts, our beliefs, for out of it come the issues of life. What this means is that the word that goes out from within you does not return unto thee void, but shall accomplish whereunto it is sent. It will heal, or it will destroy. It will supply, or it will withhold. But always, always, it always returns to the sender. One way of putting it is that we see ourselves going and coming at the same time. Now, what I'm going to share with you, some people will totally refuse to accept. But I will say to you this morning that healing is no more an act of God than sicknesses. Nothing is imposed on us. God does not impose anything or force anything on anyone. Your word will consistently become flesh. We have been reminding ourselves over the past several lessons that we are not puppets, that we have been given a mind to choose what is to be or what is not to be, happy or miserable, at peace or in turmoil. So why not choose to be well? By keeping your emotional thoughts with all diligence. What I am trying to share with you this morning is that your good, whatever it may be at this point in your life, because it can change by tomorrow, but your good is yours for the taking. It's all a matter of consciousness. Have you noticed that when something is not right in your life, when we find ourselves focusing on some negative, how it seems to multiply? What's that saying that it doesn't rain but it pours? Have you noticed that when that individual you live with happens to get up on the wrong side of bed and begins to complain about this thing or that thing, and that individual may still be in bed and not even out of it? And it happens in the workplace. It happens in all of our relationships. Our neighbors, our friends, family members. Have you noticed that some people get up in the morning primed and ready to start an argument? And more than willing to share their misery? But if you choose, as the Bible says, to keep your own counsel, with all due respect, I interpret this as saying, if you choose to keep your mouth shut and say within yourself, what is that to me? Without saying a word, but immediately turning to that center in the midst of you, not only can you actually turn that situation totally around, you can even pick up that other individual from his misery without saying a word. But by that word that is coming out from under the depths of your being. But if you begin identifying and reacting to the other fellow, don't be surprised that all hell is going to break loose. Because you will be feeding the very situation you're trying to dismiss. At a very personal level, to me, the divine science teaching is just so practical. I would say that this is practical Christianity at work. You don't have to go through, you don't have to memorize thousands of verses from Scripture. You don't have to go through all kinds of rituals when you attend a service. Kneeling, standing, closing your eyes, singing, praying. None of that is necessary. Please let me remind you once again. There is never the other fellow. It's never that situation or that condition. It has nothing to do with the food you eat or the time of day. It all has to do with our reactions to the appearances that will inevitably set the pattern for the rest of your day. And for some individuals, it's for the rest of their lives. Because they refuse to let go. Doesn't matter how much willpower you have. Doesn't matter how intelligent you are. Doesn't matter how many books you have read, or how many classes you have attended. None of these activities are going to change your life one iota. But your emotional thoughts can change anything. If for no longer than to give you the opportunity to turn within. It has taken us, so many of us, such a long time to realize why certain things are the way they are and why they continue to be in our lives. Some insurance companies identify people as accident prone. You might even know some of them. There are those who have been kissing frogs for dozens of years and have yet to find the prince. And they question why it is that some people have so much and others have so little. and why some are always healthy and others are always sick. And my friends, it has nothing to do with genes. It has nothing to do with luck. It has nothing to do with being at the right place at the right time. And it has nothing to do with God. It has to do with consciousness. What's the benefit of having $1 million in the bank and you don't know about it? It is that experience, it is that realization, it is that knowingness that can change your life for the better. In the same way that a realization of God can do wonders for our lives in such many, many different ways. These promises that have been given to us, they are legion. I make all things new. I healeth thee of all thine diseases. I make crooked places straight. I will restore the years that the locust have eaten. These are not promises of some religious groups that are trying to attract people to their teachings. Rather, it is a very real power that is here and now. Talking about power. Hundreds of years ago, a child was born to a peasant woman. And this child grew into adulthood, and we are told that he never went more than 200 miles beyond of his birthplace. There is no record that this individual ever attended school. No record whatsoever. Did he ever have a degree, a diploma, a certificate? None. This individual never owned property. He never wrote a book. None. There was no record that he held elected office anywhere at any time. He never did a thing for people to consider him an intellectual or a genius. And yet, simply by speaking a word, notice the phrase, speaking a word, the cripple walked, the blind saw, and the sick were healed. It is written in Scripture that man was given dominion over everything, power over everything. Throughout thousands of years, all of the armies that have ever marched, and all of the navies that have ever sailed, and all of the kings and all of the dictators and all of the rulers that ever existed, all of them put together, have not affected the life of mankind as much as this one individual has. This is power. This is dominion. And you know what he said? What I do, you can do also. And even greater things than these can you do. How? Enter your closet and shut the door. And in that silence at the center of your being, your Father, the only power that sees all things in secret, that already knows what you have need of, will reward you openly. Just be still. No. Shall we make this lesson practical? Will you now join me for our closing meditation? Just relax. Place your body in a place where it's not going to call attention to itself. And just be still. Just know that in this quietness and stillness, you are safe. You are protected. You are well. Just be still. And know that in the depths of your being, a feeling comes over you as if to say, be not afraid. I am with you always. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. For this blessing, O most wondrous God, I give you thanks. And so it is that the Almighty God in the midst of you blesses you and keeps you. It shines its love upon you and its graces unto you. For it lifts your consciousness and gives you